So the stage is set for the first of our debates. I'm joined in the studio. On my left, I have Michelle O'Neill, who represents Fianna Fáil. Good morning to Michelle.
Good morning, Alan.
And beside you is Bree Dean Murphy, who represents Fianna Gael. Good morning to Bree Dean.
Good morning, Alan.
And on the right-hand side of you, we have Jack Sarones, who's independent. Good morning to Jack.
Good morning, Alan, and good morning to your listeners.
So, as I said, the debate is very clear. We're going to look at the main events that are taking place. But above all, we want you to have ample time to air your views going forward as candidates. So we're going to start with you first off, Michelle. In 60 seconds, can you outline for us why you're going forward for election?
I know the challenges many of you face because I've lived them. As a single mother, I work hard to raise my son, overcoming my own struggles. These experiences taught me a resilience, determination and the importance of supporting families and communities. Throughout my refereeing career, I constantly made important decisions under immense pressure, pushing through countless barriers, working tirelessly to represent my country in the global stage. Now I'm turning that same drive and focus to public service, to fight for real solutions that matter to you. I'll work tirelessly to tackle the housing crisis, improve access to healthcare and mental healthcare, and create opportunities for families to thrive in our own communities. These are just not policies, these are personal to me. This election is about who understands your struggles and have your vision to deliver. Together, we will build a vibrant and enhanced Wexford. I'm ready to represent you because I know what's at stake.
That was Michelle O'Neill from Fianna Fáil. I'm now joined by Bree Dean Murphy from Fine Gael. In 60 seconds, Bree Dean, can you outline why people should vote for you?
Yes, Alan. So I'm Bree Dean Murphy and I'm a candidate for Fianna Gael in the upcoming general election. I'm a mum to two beautiful girls and I live in Clonroach with my husband, Philip. I'm also a social worker and I've been a councillor for the past 6 years and I'm the current Cathaoirleach in the New Ross district. I want to take it to a national level and here's what I want to do. I want to fight for our rural communities to make sure that they get the investment they deserve to grow into resilient places to live and to put the infrastructure into place to make them safer communities. And I also want the next government to really start thinking about Wexford as a city. We need to get smarter about how we're planning for Wexford. We need to start planning for the future and not just for now.
That was Bree Dean Murphy from Fine Gael. And finally, in the first three candidates joining us in studio for the first of our debates, again, I want to emphasise we're looking at the Wexford constituency today. We now turn to independent councillor Jack Sarones. Why are you going forward for election, Jack?
Well, I always wanted to go for the general elections. I got sick with cancer about 10 years ago and it put me back a lot. But I think this is the right opportunity to go to it. I think there's 15 candidates. I think myself, everyone is in with a fair shout of this. There's no certainties in this game, right? I'm here to represent the people of Enniscorthy as an independent and County of Wexford, as an independent for the last 30 years as a councillor and my father before me. Houses, mental health, roads, jobs. These are priorities for the people of our family. Our son went away into Canada in 2011, never came home. A lot of mother and sons and daughters who never came back home again because they're working over there. So we want to bring these people back. And my job here as elected, as a councillor, as the vice chairman of the county, is to work for the people of this county and a strong voice for an independent candidate in these elections.
We have a number of topics to look at today and the timeline for this debate can run any time from now up till 20 to 12 or a little bit beyond it, or if necessary shorter. So we're going to gauge from the three of you exactly where you stand on all the key issues. But before I take the first commercial break and then get on to those key issues, which are going to include cost of living, the housing crisis, healthcare, education and public transport. There are many of the talking points. Also, the issues that engage you. So can I just, first of all, before we even take that first commercial break, come back to you, Michelle, and ask you, what does Wexford mean to you and what are you going to do for Wexford?
Wexford means a huge community to me. You know, going out on the doors, knocking on the doors, being on the ground, you know, there's so much vibrancy out there. There's so many people out there crying as well that, you know, we need to increase our funding, increase our support and increase our services right across the board for everybody, you know, all the way from our children all the way up to our elderly, you know. And there is so much, I have to say, like, there's so much positives out there, but there is a lot of negatives as well. And we need to increase, again, services and supports right across the board for everybody.
So that's, and I put the same question to you, Breedine. What does Wexford mean to you, and what are you going to do for Wexford?
I'm incredibly proud, excuse me, Alan, to have represented the New Ross District over the past 60 years, and I want to expand that to represent Wexford. What I want to fight for is infrastructure in Wexford. We need to get things completed that have started but have not been finished. So I'm thinking about the extension onto Wexford General Hospital that we so badly need, and we've discussed that numerous times. But it's also our university. As I said, I've got young kids, and I want them to have the option of a third level education here in Wexford so that they don't have to leave the county. But also public transport, as you mentioned, you know, our Oilgate bypass has not happened. That when we hit Oilgate, we have a motorway all the way from Belfast. But as soon as we hit Oilgate, often we hit bottlenecks. So we need to get a handle of that, and we need to deliver the bypass and maximise Rosslare, your report.
And Jaxler, before I take that break and then go through, and we have time to look at all these key areas, and I'd like you to engage, but also I'd like you to let each other speak. So there are a few ground rules that I have to apply as facilitator of these debates. What does Wexford mean to you, and what will you do if elected for Wexford?
I'm a proud and Scotty man, a proud Wexford man, right? And I've wore the colours of Wexford and purple and gold many times, right? My job as an independent, hopefully a TD, to knock doors in the Dáil Éireann and speak for the people of Wexford and not be told what to say or not write what to say. Speak for the people, and what their concerns is my concerns. We have waited so long for the flood scheme in Inniscarty, which was rejected by this government over a freshwater pearl. We have people in house owners in the Island Road who've been flooded 5 times. We have the business people. I signed a contract in 2011 for 50 million for a flood scheme. That's a priority. The way it's going now, there could be a flood any time. We don't want the people of Inniscarty and County of Wexford to be ever flooded again. And we want roads to be done. We want our schools to be done. We want our mental health. St. Sennans was closed down. Nothing was in its place. You have to go to Waterford, right? The staff in Waterford are fantastic, but the facilities is not great. So they are the things that I am going to work for as elected member. And I will speak, and I'm a strong independent for the last 30 years for the people of this county, and I hope I continue to do so.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, the first topic up for discussion is the cost of living. I want you, all three of you, to share with me what you're witnessing on the ground on the canvas, what you think needs to be addressed urgently. So cost of living is the first topic up of a host of topics in the first of our debates here on South East Radio's Morning Mix. Again, the comments and texts are coming in, and please get them in by WhatsApp or by text to us, please, on 087 3737956. If you'd like for me to raise an issue on your behalf with the three candidates in studio here. Again, reminding you, this is the Wexford District today. Jack, sir, here's a question. We're going to look at the cost of living. I'll put it to all three of you. I'll give it to you first. Are you going for this election run for the money or for the cost? It's a comment in from a morning.
Well, I'm going to explain it to you. Right? Alan, I spent 20 years as a town councillor, right, for 11 euros a day, 77 euros a week. Right?
That's what you get.
That's what we got.
Yeah.
That's what we
got.
What
about the expenses on top of it, though?
There was no expenses on top of that for town councillors.
Okay.
There was no expenses. That's what we got. I'm in here to represent the people, right? Not always going to be 20 years doing 16 hours a day of work on 11 hours a day. That's what town councillors got. And that was abolished by Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, right? At the time. Oh, no, Fine Gael and Labour, sorry, at the time, right? They abolished that. And that was a lot of harm done to people, because I was on council with Ivan Yates, John Brown, along with my father was on the council with them too. So what
so
I'm saying,
you're saying you weren't doing it for the money, and you're
not doing it for the money. Okay. Not doing it for the money. We're doing it for the people. To be honest, okay. Right? If you're doing it for money, it's nothing to do with the money. It's to represent the people and make sure the people of this county get deserved. Right? On the doorstep at the moment, people are struggling to heat.
Okay. Let me just ask Breedine and Michelle a straight question. Are you doing this for the money? Is this a gravy train for Breedine Murphy to become a deputy?
Absolutely not, Alan. And I agree with what Councillor Owens has said there. I work full time also. And, you know, I work very long hours and into the evening times, often representing people. And I am passionate about the people that I represent and the communities that I represent. Okay. That's what drives me. It is not the money, believe you me. It is actually seeing things happen in our communities and helping people. I think you'll agree, Councillor Owen. Yeah. It's helping people and getting solutions for people. Money doesn't come into it, really. It is about just helping.
Okay, Michelle, for you, is it about the money?
It's never about the money. As you can see, I've been a referee for many years. And believe me, it's never about the money. I just feel that I have a very strong place in society, a very strong voice here in the communities for Wexford. I grew up from Inniscarty originally, so I know what it's like. I grew up in the community of Bree, so in rural Ireland. So I know what is needed from the ground. And I'm very passionate, proud woman from Wexford. And, you know, I always stand up, and I always want to stand up for the people of Wexford.
Okay, so I'm going to stick with money, because I mentioned just before the break, the first talking point today is the cost of living. And you and I both know, all of us know, that many families are struggling with the rising cost of living. What do you think? I'll start with you on this one first, Breedine. Do you think needs to be done to alleviate financial pressures on households? I know you are not a sitting member of Parliament at the moment, but you are an active member of a party that's been in power for 14 years. And a lot of people feel that there's a lot of abysmal failure out there on behalf of Fine Gael, where they have not delivered in terms of the financial packages that families need to survive. Not just to live, but to survive. What do you think?
I think what's the first thing that's really important to say, Alan, that the cost of living crisis is global at the minute, and we have to acknowledge that. I absolutely hear what you say, and I don't want there to ever be a situation where an older person, for example, is afraid to turn on the heat in the wintertime because of spiralling ESB bills. But a lot has happened, and we need to just acknowledge that. So, you know, we have had interventions to lighten the load on people, including energy credits, of course, which will continue into next year. One of the really important things has been the free school book scheme. So that has alleviated huge pressures on families with kids in school, and that's going to be expanded as well. And also, you know, packages, the threshold for fuel allowance, for example, has been dropped. So it is now down to 66, and it's the same for the household benefits package. And they're really important packages.
Is that going far enough?
Look, that is an argument. I believe it is going far enough. I think if we drop it to 66, it is increasing the number of people who will qualify for the package. And that's a really important package, and something that people actually aren't aware of. So when I've been on doors and I've said to people that there's a household benefits package, they're not aware it exists. So it's really important to get that message out there that you may be entitled to it.
And so do you accept that you've done some, but you need to do a lot more?
Absolutely. Of course, Alan. We've done some, but there is always more to do.
Okay. Michelle, your situation is very interesting. You went forward for the local elections as an independent councillor with the Independent Alliance. So you went basically forward as a councillor for the opposition. You now find yourself with Fianna Fáil, a government party who you've never actually served a day in a life with as a councillor. So, I mean, it's a straight question for you. The switch from the opposition to a government party, never having worked for that government party, people are finding it hard to understand. So when you campaigned as a local councillor, you would have been campaigning on behalf of a lot of people who are going through difficulties with the cost of living. Now, as working for Fianna Fáil, who are a government party, do you stand over what they've done for the cost of living?
Yeah, Alan, look, I've never stopped standing for the people of Wexford. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I just basically left an independent party behind and still want to move forward to serving for the people. You know, you can't move forward if you keep looking back, you know, and quite frankly, like, we have to tackle this crisis. We have to tackle the cost of living.
Sorry for cutting across you, Michelle, but that's not the question. The question I'm asking is, you obviously were a member of the opposition. Now you're a member of a government party. Why the change, and what led to that change? And when it comes to the cost of living, what are your thoughts on what they have delivered by way of tackling the cost of living, Fianna Fáil?
Yeah, look, I have answered that question, and I've answered that question on a different programme before.
Okay, can you answer for me now, Michelle?
I'm basically going back to my grassroots. I have been Fianna Fáil right through. I thought I was standing for independent, but I wasn't standing for independent, quite frankly. So my policies and my values are really in line with Fianna Fáil's mandate. Okay. And you can see through the manifesto the good that they're doing, the increases that they're putting in. Do you know, I mean, quite frankly, like, they're increasing the elderly rate state pension up to 350. That's going to put money back into people's pockets. They're going to keep the VAT rate at 9% for the next 5 years. Do you know, that's going to heat houses. That's going to, like, there is one of the people on the doors yesterday who was wearing all his hats, his jackets, his coats. And it's just unacceptable, right, to know this day
so
and age.
So do you accept like what Breedine has just said there? Breedine has honestly said to me, yeah, we've done some, but we need to do a lot more. Do you believe now that you wear the Fianna Fáil hat that you knew as a party need to do a lot more?
We do need to do a lot more. But, you know, quite frankly, we are. We're increasing it. Do you know, there's a lot of good coming into Fianna Fáil. And that's why I'm standing beside him. And that's why I'm there.
Right, and would you put down as a highlight or as a very important part of your campaign the cost of living? Is that what you're hearing on the doorstep?
I have.
You talked about
one
the man
of my
wearing
priorities
all the
coats, is cost of living. One of my major priorities is cost of living. And, you know, if we have to increase supports, we're increasing services and we're increasing funding. But it's actually accessing them and to make people aware to be able to access them through the government and filter it right down to Wexford. And that's what we're here for, to be able to access that for all.
All right, Jack, sir, look, when it comes to cost of living, you constantly, like Michelle and Breedine as well, you raise these issues with me on the morning mix on a regular basis. You raise them quite a lot and you're forever campaigning for people who are homeless, etc. So how much an issue on the doorstep
it's
is cost of living for you?
Unbelievable, right? People are trying to heat and eat, right? Put a roof over their head, right? I'm the only Inniscarty district councillor who voted against the property tax. I'm the only one, right? Because people have enough, right? They have 100 years of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil party, right? They're looking for change, right? Mm. I went as an independent for the last 30 years. I'm not changing spots for nobody. I'm an independent and a true independent. Okay. And I'm probably the only probably true independent in this 15 candidate elections, right? We found an independent before us. People are struggling out there to put food on the table. Struggling to meet, struggling for school bills, struggling to get their children in college, right? Okay. I've got grandchildren in water. I've got 5 grandchildren in college we had. Trying to get accommodation, trying to get a place. It's struggling, right? All these things are putting people's lives in hardship. We've got to look after the people in the budget. Okay, they give good bonuses there for the last couple of months. But as elected member, right, I'm here on a doorstep every day, right? We are struggling to make ends meet. And my job as an independent for this county is to make sure to speak up in the doll for the people of this county.
Okay, look, you've talked about cost of living, but to be fair to Breedine and Michelle, I've given them 2 straight questions there in relation to where the failures of their parties and what they need to do more. And Michelle has answered directly about her switch from independent to Fianna Fáil. And one for you now as well, Jackson. This basically is, being in opposition, it's all fine and well, but how much do you think it actually achieves anything apart from making noise?
Well, I'm going to answer that question to you now.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a question that people have asked me to put to you.
Yeah. I can put it right.
Opposition parties make noise.
Look, I'm not in a party. I was never in a party. Yeah. I never will be in a party. I'm an independent, a true independent, right? I topped the poll in Inniscarty on a couple of occasions. I'm 30 year there.
Okay.
If I wasn't working, I wouldn't be 30 year there for the people of Inniscarty and the County of Wexford.
Believe that you do make change?
We do make change because we speak for the people. That's what I'm not in a party. I'm not told what to say. People don't write down anything for me, right? I speak whatever the people want, I speak for. I will make a change in Dáil Éireann if I'm elected because I will get up and speak for the purple and gold and the County of Wexford people and no one's going to close me up down there.
All right, well, I we both know that Breedine and Michelle are representing political parties that are currently in government. I know you're not, but here's a question for you. Would you be prepared to go into government if you were elected as a TD and as what's the polls seem to be indicating at the moment that independents are going to play a huge part in this election?
I would go into government as an independent, if we got what I want for this county.
Right.
And that's the most important thing. Not for any other county, but for what? For Wexford. Okay. To get things over the line that we need. I will go into government. I'm not here to stop an opposition. I'm here to represent the people. And if I can get on the ballot paper, if I can get elected and be asked to go as a minister, and I get what for this county, I would think about it, yeah.
Okay, thank you. We have joined in studio with us and the next part of the debate before we get them to round off their own 30-second summary is we're going to look at the whole area of housing, healthcare, education and public transport. They're the next topics. Take a short break, come back, and I'm going to start with you, Michelle, on the housing crisis to get your views and then go to Jackson, then go to Breedine.
Chat, news and your views. Southeast Radio's Morning Mix.
So we come to the final part of our opening debate here on South East Radio's Morning Mix. If you've just tuned in, we have in the studio in the Wexford constituency representing Fine Gael, Breedy Murphy, Independent Jack Sorones, and Fianna Fáil's Michelle O'Neill. Michelle, we're now going to look at the whole area of the housing crisis, and we're going to ask you for your view. County Wexford is experiencing a significant housing shortage. What policies are you seeking the government to implement if elected?
Look, it is a huge crisis, and quite frankly, it's a personal one to me as well. You know, with a son returning home. So, yeah, everything has to be really tackled from the get-go. And it's like increased building, the building of houses, including social and affordable. Do you know, the over-the-shop grant and the vacancy in the derelict grant that's out there, that should be really, you know, pushed out there and increased. And increase everything across the board, including houses and recruitment and services. Do you know, I mean, there's a lot that can be done. There's a lot of positives that can be done. It's just really getting out there and getting them done and getting them across the board.
And has it been said to you much on the doorstep as you travel, as you go around in the canvas?
It is. I mean, it is. You know, you can see it. I mean, there's people in desperate need for houses. They're again, it's their kids going to college. They don't have anywhere to stay. It's the kids returning home and living in the box rooms at home. And
you have empathy towards them because you're fearful for your own son.
I do, yeah, 100%.
On this issue, Breedine, I have a comment in from New Ross, and it's in your district. Caller from New Ross would like to ask all of you, what are you going to do about sites, houses, old buildings that are falling down, especially in New Ross town? So that's right in your ballpark. What are you going to do for the people in New Ross?
Well, Alan, this is something that I have been extremely vocal on, and that is our vacant and derelict properties. As I have been canvassing across County Wexford over the past number of weeks, I have been, and I will use the word astonished, by the number of vacant properties, not only in our towns, but also rurally. And I'm sure Michelle and Jax are here to my side will have seen it as well. When you call into a house, beautiful homes in our countryside that are vacant. And, you know, we do have the vacant home scheme, but I would like to see more support from the government for that scheme.
Right.
Back last year, the year before, I put down a motion to increase the amount of funding under that scheme, and yeah, I'm glad that it was passed by government. But we do need to look at the staffing and making sure that we have adequate staff to administer that grant.
And again, Breedine, you have to bring up the point. You speak about the government, but you're part of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that the government, again, I'm repeating myself here, listening to you speak there, it almost sounds like you're in opposition, but you're not, you're part of the government. Have they not been listening to you when you raise these issues?
They have, Alan, but I guess it comes down to the local authorities. And so we had a vacant homes officer in Wexford County Council who vacated the position, and we've had great difficulty in replacing them. There is now a vacant homes officer in place, but what it did, it was delayed how quickly those grants were getting overturned. Yeah. And that's not good enough. So if we have a grant in place, we have to have the person there who's going to go out and check the site and administer the grant. It's very simple.
Okay.
The scheme itself is fantastic, and it has helped. I think in Wexford County Council, we've had over 300 applications, and somewhere in the region of about 206 that have been paid out. But I just want to make sure moving forward that we continue with that scheme, but we make sure that the people that are administering the grant are in place in the local authorities.
Trying to get different angles on this topic from all of you. Jack Sorones, you were listening to Connor on the way in here this morning, where he made an impassioned plea to all candidates in County Wexford to bear in mind and differentiate between people looking for homes and homelessness, and talked about 68 people currently in Wexford. And you think of the freezing cold weather we've just experienced last night and again tonight. Where do you stand on the homelessness issue? Where do you stand on this housing crisis?
Well, let me put it this way, Alan. I was a housing applicant for 4 years, so I think I know a lot about being a housing applicant.
What did you do? Did you couch surf, or what did you do?
Did you what?
What did you do when you were a housing applicant?
I had to keep applying, housing applicant. I had to keep talking to housing officers. But at the moment, right, we have people on couches. We have people in box rooms. Now, I know for a fact, you can't put a double bed in the box room because we tried it. You can't get it into it. So we slept on a mattress. And the same today, right?
Yeah.
We've people who left their home, right, to get married or a partner. They're going back to live with their families now. On couches and floors. We're not building any social houses. In Enniscorthy district in 2023, we built one social house.
Right.
One social house for 700,000 applicants, right? The choice letting they brought in is not fit for purpose. And I'm going to explain the situation to you. You get 100 people tonight will apply for houses in choice letting. One person will get word of that they're allocated. 99 will get no word of it.
Okay.
Right?
They will, and then they'll ring the council and say, did I get a house? And we don't know because we're not told. When the housing list was out, you could see the housing list. What we have to do is build. Inniscarty Town Council was the first councillors, coast town in this county, to build affordable houses in Millbrook and Ross Road. We were the first ever, right? But talk about affordable. 300,000 not affordable for houses. You know, we have to look at what is affordable, right? Get back to the York. Social houses. Next year, I'm told, as a councilman the other day, we're going to build 120 houses in 2025 in the street. That is delighted for that. But we're not building once. We people on the list, no one is getting built. 12 year. I have a lady, she's in Rath's.
Yeah.
I mentioned the other day. She's 12 year in Rath's. She's never been housed in a council house, right?
So it is a priority.
It is for a priority. As a person who's been housed in Abigail, it's a priority for people. Oh. And not only that, you said to me a minute ago, why are you doing opposition?
Yeah.
I got emergency accommodation in Inniscarty for the first time ever. In the old mine nursing home for people from Inniscarty who don't have to go to Ross and don't have to go to Goree, right? They can go to Inniscarty because their children are in school and all. That was the first time ever.
So you're saying you're proactive. I'm looking at the clock, lads, and I want to come back to each of you because I want to give you the 30 seconds to wrap up. But here's a question that has come in to me. They're coming in from all angles. What have each of you personally achieved for our county? I asked you at the start, what would you do for a county? Breedeen, what have you achieved for County Wexford?
I think mental health has come up a number of times today in the context of this debate. And it's something, it's an area I have worked in. And it was a contentious topic at the last council meeting where an organisation, or sorry, a committee that I've been involved in, the Mental Wellbeing Working Group, we set up Meet Your Neighbour events. One thing I'm passionate about is redeveloping our communities and making them places where people connect. I set up that initiative with Annette Dupuy, and it has been hugely successful across County Wexford.
Jack, sir, I'm going to come back to you, give you 30 seconds each just to wrap up, but what have you done for County Wexford? If you were to ask for one single answer.
I have worked hard for the people of Inniscarty, and that's my district at the moment, right? Now, I'm hoping to continue to work for the County Wexford, right? As elected
What's
member.
Your crown and glory of all your years as a councillor?
My crown and glory, is, I suppose, is to get the emergency accommodation probably in Inniscarty, because that was never here. That was never in Inniscarty, and that was up to Michelle, that was up to Anita and Karen Goggins, who pulled this law over the line with the people who owned it, right? Yeah. Because, let me explain to you, Milan, right? We had people who had to get a bus to go to Ross. We had people who had to go back to get children out of school. This is a fantastic place. But we don't want emergency education. We want them in houses.
Okay.
We want them houses. That's what we want. So I have worked 30 years as an independent. I would continue to work 30 if I'm elected again, but as also a councillor. So I am working hard for the people. We don't get everything done. And I want to tell you, getting done is it's not telling the truth, because you won't get everything done for people.
Okay, yeah. Start thinking of your 30 seconds to wrap up. There are other topics, and as the debates unfold, we won't be taking the same topic as everybody, because it will get quite boring, so we're going to keep the thing rolling over. But we thank the three of you for joining us in studio, because first time up is always the most difficult. The one benefit, of course, is we're going to be podcasting these debates, and your podcast is going to be up straight after 12 o'clock today. Michelle, you're new to the political game. If I were to ask you what you've done for County Wexford.
I've actually done a lot of things for County Wexford people don't even know and see and hear, and that's a testament to the people and the communities I'm in. And especially, I'm a special needs teacher, swimming teacher, additional needs teacher in swimming for the past 30 years, and you know, I can see firsthandly what we need and what need to be done. And through my inspiration to them and the different mentoring services I gave to different coaching, to different sporting organisations I did, you know, I've part of GA, part of soccer, part of so many different sporting organisations that I intend to still inspire and still move the country and the county forward together. And that's what I'm here for. I know that I'm determined, and I can stand up and a new voice for Wexford.
You were very obliging. You stuck to the 1 minute now. 30 seconds each as we round off the first of our debates. Jaxer Owens, why should people vote for Jaxer?
Well, Alan, I want the people to vote for Jaxer Owens as an independent, right? And I want the people to have a strong voice in Dáil Éireann as speaking for the people of this county, right? And come out on the 29th and vote number one for Owens and rest your bones.
Vote for Owens and rest your bones. That's his catchphrase. I don't know if you got a catchphrase, Breedin, in 30 seconds. Why should people vote for Breedin Murphy from Fine Gael?
Alan, over the past, over the past 6 years, I've been an extremely strong voice. I'm not afraid to call things out. I'm not afraid to challenge what I don't agree with. But as I mentioned earlier, I have two very young children, and I look at the future for them and what I want Wexford to look like. And that is what drives me, is my passion for people and developing and delivering a County Wexford that we can all be proud of.
Thank you, Breedin. And finally, you, Michelle, why should people vote for Michelle O'Neill for Fianna Fáil?
I said it once and I'll say it again. I'll work tirelessly to tackle the homeless crisis, improve access to healthcare and mental health care, and create opportunities for families to thrive in our community. These are not just policies, these are personal to me. So please, vote O'Neill, you're number one for Wexford.
Just once before I finish, Alan.
You have to wrap, Jack.
We have great news in Enniscorthy. The council is buying the Castle Nightclub, which is a fantastic place for Andrew. We all danced in it, some of the greatest bands in it. So now...
Red card, Jockster, that's a red card.
Red card, you just received a red card there. Right, just to round off our debate, to remind you, this is the Wexford constituency. We've just dealt with three candidates. In the Wexford constituency are Stephen Power, the Irish People, Verona Murphy, non-party, Michael Sheen, non-party, Johnny Mithen, Sinn Féin, Breedin Murphy, Fine Gael, Cathal Byrne, Fine Gael, Pádraig MacDonald, Green Party, Jim Codd, AIM2, Jack Sarones, non-party, Mick Wallace, Independence for Change, George Lawler, the Labour Party, Martina Stafford, People Before Profit, Jason Murphy, the National Party, James Brown, Fianna Fáil, and Michelle O'Neill, Fianna Fáil. They are the candidates in the Wexford constituency. Our next debate is this coming Friday.